Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Atlanta.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, just bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare.
Go. We killed the music. Let's get my co-host on here, Susie. And let's bring Susie on.
Hi, Lana.
Hi. Hey, welcome to Lana Talk, Susie. Good to see
you.
How are you? Oh, it's been an amazing day. I'm great. How are you?
I am doing good.
Good. Can everybody hear Susie okay on here? If you guys can hear her, just give me a thumbs up. Let me know. Susie, can you hear yourself?
Hold on. No, because I don't have my volume up because we were going to try to.
Yeah, let's not do that. Okay, I got to figure out how to bring Susie in. So I'm not seeing you, so let me see here. I'm not very good. I still haven't figured out how to do this yet, so we're going to Katrina. No, Susie. It's Susie
Carlson,
right?
I took Katrina out. It's Susie. Yep. I finally figured out how to change it.
Okay, I just sent you an invite.
Okay.
So, hey, Frank, how's it going? Hey, David, yo, yo, yo. What it do? I'm telling you, it's been a day. So we're going to, are we going to be able to get
Lana,
in here?
It sent me an invite to watch the video.
All right. Hey, Anna. Let's see if I can figure out how to do this. Your viewers.
I'm sending you a request.
Are you there? I got you. We're going to approve you. So we're going to bring Susie on live, too, on to Lana's Talk, so that we can get this show started. And there she is.
Hi, yo.
So, yeah, welcome. Welcome to Lana and Susie's Talk. Boy, we got some stuff to talk about tonight. We are going to talk about what it is like to co-parent in the trucking industry. You know, my instructor was a driver for a long time, and he raised 5 children himself in a semi. That's super impressive. So it's just not about the women in trucking. It's also about the men in trucking, because there are a lot of men who raise children, you know, as well as the women, you know, in their semis. I see posts all the time about women who just had a newborn, and they've got that baby in the truck with them while they're working, you know. And I'm just trying to figure out, you know, because I know when my husband was bobtailing, my kids were little then, and so, hey, Philip, hey, Bill, how's it going? Hey, Deidre, I welcome everybody to our show tonight. You know, we're talking about what it is to co-parent in the trucking industry. And if you'll push 1, I will be able to see you, and I can add you on. So that way, we can hear what you have to say. Because what you have to say is as important as what we have to say, because my babies aren't little anymore, so it's got to be a lot harder now to co-parent back from when I was, you know, in it with my husband when he was bobtailing. So when you're bobtailing, you don't have, you know, your own personal truck. So you're picking up other semis and you're taking them into another place. So you can't put the luxuries in there of a TV and you know, the stuff to keep the kids calmed down. So it was not a good scenario for myself and my children because there was nothing for them to do. They were absolutely bored out of their mind. They couldn't get out of the truck and go into the truck stop and play the video games and run wild. And, or, you know, they had to be quiet while Keith was sleeping, you know, so he could get up and drive. So it just, you know, it's just not an easy thing to do. It is a very hard thing to do to try to find that balance, you know, of being a parent but still being able to do your profession, you know, or to be the spouse. I'm not going to use wife at home because there are a lot of men at home, too, while the wives are out driving because the trucking industry is becoming more female acclimated, so the husbands are saying, hey, peace out, bro. I got the kids. Bye. So, you know, so I'm not just going to say females at home. I'm going to say females and males that are at home raising their children while the spouse is out driving. You know, there is a lot of stuff, Susie, that goes on at this home front that we, even now that my children are grown, choose not to share with our husbands or wives while they're out there on the road. You know, we want to share it with them, but we can't share it with them. And the reason we can't share it with them is because there's nothing they can do.
Well, sometimes it's better not to let them worry.
Yes, and worry. They're going to be worrying because they know that you are upset at home. And, you know, their parenting mode is going to kick in, and they're going to want to do something to try to help the situation. But they don't. You know, well, I'm just going to say this. When I was in D.C., up at the protest in D.C., there was a gentleman that was inside our truck, and he had called his wife. And they have, I think, 5 kids. And she was very distraught, very stressed, she was crying, you know, and he was like, well, what's wrong with you, you know? And she said, I'm just super stressed out today. The kids aren't listening, you know, this child's sick, that child's sick, you know, and I just have all this stuff that I have to do. Well, you know, he was kind of just like, yeah, you know, well, you know what I did today? Kind of not really caring, you know, and then whenever he got off with her, he looked at me and he says, every day I have to put up with this. Every day I have to put up with this. You have to put up with what? Your wife's at home taking care of the children that you helped create. So if she's had a stressful freaking day and wants to cry on your shoulder because she's your wife and it is your responsibility as her husband to listen, to console, and to comfort her while you are not driving but you're in a protest in D.C.
Right.
Sorry. So, yeah, I wasn't very impressed with that. I thought that was, you know, actually, as a woman, I thought, man, I feel sorry for her to have a husband like that, that says things like that, you know, and doesn't get it. So, hey, Philip, I haven't seen you in a long time. Good to see you tonight, Philip. Oh, we got our old buddy Frank on here. Frank Birch is not doing too well. He is pretty sick guy, so prayers out to Frank. You know, he's been sick pretty much his whole life, and he's fighting a battle right now. So my heart is going out to Frank because Frank is a good guy. He really is. I met him in D.C., and he is a wonderful guy. So, guys, give prayers, please, to Frank. Let's not forget about Gary, who is still fighting mouth cancer.
Absolutely.
You know, let's not forget about praying for Gary. You guys, let's not forget about praying for these people in Louisiana right now that are getting their asses kicked by Hurricane Laura. Shreveport is gone. This thing this morning at 6 o'clock this morning was a level 5. 250 miles inland. You know, I'm going to cry. Man, I've been doing a lot of crying lately. No crying. So please pray for the people out there, you know, that are suffering right now from this horrible hurricane. On top of the riots that we have going on, all of the violence, all of the children that are being shot because Black Lives Matter, but yet we're killing innocent children who have nothing to freaking do with color. Sorry, that's not racist. I'm just pointing out something here, so don't take it that way, because I'm not racist in any way whatsoever. Color doesn't mean nothing to me. We all bleed effing red, all right? So, yeah, so prayers out to Frank and Gary, and I just talked to Taylor Barker, and I guess there's a truck show going on up in Ohio for Miss Arlene Bennett. I guess she's not doing too well, so I'd like to give a shout-out to Arlene, and prayers to you, Arlene. I hope that God will reach in and will rescue you from your suffering and your pain that you're going through. Yes, Frank, I know no crying and chucking, but guess what? I'm going to change that because I'm a crybaby. But anyway, back to Miss Arlene. I hope she enjoys the truck show that everybody's putting together for her. You know, she's been in the trucking industry for a long time. She loves it. I guess her husband was a trucker, and she would ride with him. And so she found her passion in it. And so I hear that she's not doing well, so everybody please pray that God will reach in and rescue her, you know, rescue her and help Miss Arlene and help her be well enough to enjoy this truck show that everybody's putting together for her. That's all I got. What do you got, Susie?
Am I echoing, first of all? I need to know if I'm echoing tonight. Are you hearing an echo, Lena?
I'm hearing an echo on your Facebook, so just turn your volume all the way down on Facebook.
It's all the way down. Let me see if I turn my... Can you still hear me?
I can hear you on the phone.
Am I still echoing?
No, I think we're okay.
Okay.
We're good. We're golden. Let's roll.
Awesome. So I agree. We need to pray for that truck show this weekend to go well and that it has a good turnout. Also, as far as these riots go, y'all, we just all need to be praying for some kind of peace in this country because this is getting out of control. Frank says I still have an echo.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, here, I'm gonna jump off the live.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
She's
Lena,
gonna
can
jump
you still
off
hear me?
Live. Yes, I can still hear you. She's gonna go start a live on her page, so anybody that is on here watching her, you'll be able to catch her on her page. Hey, hello, everybody that's on Lena's Talk. I've got Truckers TV, Michael, Dennis, Dave Rose, and Ron. Hey, guys, how's everybody doing? Let's see here. We also got Wayne Campbell. Hello, Wayne. So we got rid of the echo. One or the other, hello, 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 echo, echo, echo. It's over and done with. She jumped off here, so no more echo. She's jumping on her page so that... Hello, Sandra from Spokane, Washington. I hope you guys are doing okay out there. Thanks, Wayne. I really appreciate that. Hey, Jason, how's it going tonight? Susie, tell me what you got. You know, I said to people, hey, you know what? I want to give a shout-out to Wayne Campbell, if I could, for just a moment. You know, Wayne stood up to Steva up in Portland, Oregon. He's crazy. That guy is crazy. But he did. He stood up for our American rights. So my hat's off to you, Wayne Campbell, for doing that. So, did you happen to see that at all, Susie?
I did. I watched it live. I watched it on Steve Oatley was streaming it. And, man, it scared me so bad. I was worried for Sheila's sake. Because I, you know, could you imagine being his wife and watching that unfold?
Oh, hell no. Hell no. No.
Me
nope.
Either.
No way. So, but yeah, I just, my husband had called me. Keith had actually called me and said, hey, did you see Wayne's video? And I said, no, what happened? He said, dude, Antiva got him. I said, Antiva? Why would Antiva be getting Wayne? And he says, well, because he stood up to him. I said, what?
Right.
What the hell?
Yeah.
But you know what? If more Americans would stand up to Antiva, maybe this shit would stop. You know, maybe we could take our country back. Maybe more innocent children would stop being murdered.
Right, right. Yeah, so I've watched Wayne for a little while now. I don't know him and Sheila, of course, personally, but I've watched his videos for a little while now. And I love how Wayne and his wife interact with one another. You can definitely tell that they have such a friendship that, you know, everyone wants to be married to their best friend. And you can tell that they have that type of marriage. And it's pretty awesome to see that play out on camera every day. Even when he's giving her a hard time, people are always telling on his video, Wayne, quit being mean to her, you know. But I know Sheila's taking it all with a grain of salt, and she probably chews him out once that video stops, right?
She probably does give him a what for, I am sure. They do have great chemistry. They bounce off of each other really well. You know, it shouldn't be called the Wayne Campbell Show. It should be called the Sheila and Wayne Show, you know. But
well,
that's just a
it's
suggestion.
Called Driver Time.
Oh, yeah, it's called Driver. What's it called?
The Driver's Side.
The Driver's Side. See? I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Wayne. All right, so we got somebody on here named Donna Langston. She's a mom of two drivers, and I am retired along with my husband as a teen driver from East Texas. Well, Donna, call into the show. We'd love to what it was like for you to co-parent in the trucking industry while you were trucking. The phone number is 516-387-1733. We have a caller. We've got an 817. We're going to get him on the line.
Awesome.
Good evening, ladies.
Hey,
how are you?
You're great. Hey. Thanks for calling into the show.
That Wayne Campbell, he's crazy, isn't he? His poor wife.
Oh,
yeah, that Wayne Campbell,
it.
I'm telling you what. Is this Wayne Campbell?
Yes, it is, ladies. How are you?
Great.
Me and my wife are sitting here. We're laughing. And I just want to tell you, keep doing your show, and I'm proud of you, first of all. I'm proud of you for getting your CDL. That's what I want to talk about. I can care about the Antifa punks. We know all about that. But I want to say congratulations, Lana. You're doing it, and you're doing it with – and you're not letting anything stop you is what I like seeing. Is what I like – what I see come from you is your positivity and the fact that you're putting it out there and you're going all in.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, Wayne.
You're welcome. So what are you talking about tonight?
We are talking about what it is like to co-parent in the trucking industry and being either a spouse of a truck driver or being an actual truck driver who's trying to raise children in the truck while you're trucking.
Well, wow. Well, I'll tell you this. My wife doesn't. She's still a good friend of mine. My ex-wife Jennifer. Me and her teamed when I was behind the wheel. And my daughter Emily was at home. She was still in high school, and it was not easy. Okay, it's not easy for drivers to raise kids in general, especially when it's the spouse separated on top of, or if it's a team spouses that have a kid that's in high school and they're old enough to take care of themselves and they're out on the road and then they decide to go wild. So it's crazy. You know, truck drivers don't have it easy across the board. And the spouses on top of that. You know, it's a crazy community. It's a crazy, it's the community that it's a community that goes through the most craziest things that, that normal people really don't think about on an average. Think about, you know, and people that don't think that are not truck drivers and try to put it in perspective, try doing everything you do at home from the road is the only way I could say that. But to all the parents and stuff like that, that are in the trucking industry, my hat's off to them because it's not easy.
It can't be easy. It can't be easy trying to raise a child and be on the road. You know, I was just telling Susie that I've been seeing, you know, here more lately, just within the last month, women actually giving birth that are professional drivers and having newborn children, newborn babies, in their truck while they're driving. Professional women, you know. But, you know, you never stop being a mom, you know.
I couldn't imagine.
You never stop being bad.
You know, I can you imagine having a kid in a truck?
No.
Yes.
Lane. I mean,
yes, I have. Yes,
not
I can. What, Susie?
Dwayne did that. When we lived in Texas for a little while, our kids, all of our kids except for our youngest daughter, spent their summers in Tennessee. Our youngest daughter was, she just didn't like being away from us. So she always stayed with us. Well, while the other kids were gone during the summer, me and Lindsay would pile in the truck with Dwayne and go with him. But that's one kid, and it was also a child that was potty trained and, you know, a little bit bigger. She was 3-4 years old. So, you know, I've done it, but I could not – I don't – know how you could do that with a newborn. I don't know how that would work out. You know, a newborn.
We could barely do it with two dogs. Our two dogs were handfuls on the truck, you know. I couldn't imagine with kids. I just couldn't imagine. But there's people out there that raise families in trucks.
There is, you know, and I don't know, you know. I just know as a mother that I would not be able to leave my children with a family member when I knew that I was going to be gone for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, you know, because then my child would be growing up without a mother. But yet, when your husband is a truck driver, your child is growing up without a father. The men, they missed everything.
Yeah, there is an absence. There is an absence, and you can't say that. You can't deny that. But I think, you know what, Lane? I think with video chatting now, I think it's just become a more. It's progressed in the favor of dads that are out on the road. If they're not, if drivers aren't into video chatting and they have smartphones and their wives have smartphones and they have kids, I really promote that you start video chatting. Because it helps the father have a presence again, or the mother that's on the road, either or. It gives them the opportunity to almost be part of things again, because you can have dinners together and stuff like that. It's actually really cool.
You can. You know, and I know just being a wife of a trucker that when my husband's just calling me on the phone, the loneliness, the yearning of not being able to see him doesn't go away, doesn't settle. But if I have video chat with him, you're right. It's almost like he's here. And so the loneliness settles, the yearning settles. And I'm sure that the same kind of thing would work with the child if they're able to see their mom or dad on video. You know, no, they're not there physically, but they are there and they can see them. So that's really good advice, Wayne. You know, if you guys got a smartphone... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to
say.
Yeah,
plug in. Stay connected. Stay connected. It's important to stay connected and plugged into your household. And it's a way to do it.
It is important to stay connected to your household. You know, because the person, I'm not going to say the woman or the man that's at home, you know, it could be either or, because there are more men staying at home with women going out to work, you know, these days. But not only does that person at home have the stress of the loneliness and the yearning of missing their spouse, they also have to deal with the children missing their parent, you know, and yearning to have that parent at the graduation, birthdays, you know, baseball games. So it kind of helps settle it down if they get to see their parents. You know what? You know, that's really great advice, Wayne.
I got a question for Susie. How's your husband doing? I know you said the other day he was in. I want to say it was you that said it on the feed the other day that he's possibly going to be in unsurvivable weather.
Oh no, he was in Mississippi last night, but he's already out of there. He's already
okay,
out of
good.
There and headed back to Tennessee. So he's A-OK.
Okay. Do you guys use video chat, Susie?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We do. Our granddaughter, two of our granddaughters live with us, and one of them is particularly fond of her pa. And
yeah.
So, yes, we video chat often.
Yeah, that's what I – okay, and see, you know, it's crazy because I didn't even find video chatting through trucking, but I wish I did have because I think I would have popped my daughter. Because, see, I had a lot of trouble with my daughter at home being a 17, 16, 17, and 18. While we were out on the road, I'd have to video chat with her, and I started using it as a tool to, okay, you're going to call me at this time, and you're going to video chat because you're running the house, and I want to see what's around, okay? And then I went to cameras in the house and stuff like that. But, you know, today's day and age, I actually really, really started really embracing it with Sheila is when I lost my mother. We video chat and she wasn't able to travel with me, but she was able to be there with me. And I strongly suggest it in the trucking community to start getting people that aren't getting with technology, to start getting with technology for the good in the areas that it helps. Because it helps to fill voids in areas when people can't be there, but they actually can.
You're right. We have another caller I'd like to bring on. Everybody, hold. We got some callers, so hold on. Let's get them on here.
I got some time.
Hey,
we're working on tomorrow morning's show.
859, you're on Lana's Talk.
Lana, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just trying to do a hey, Frank. Trying to do Talk Radio.
Well, how's Mr. Campbell doing today?
I'm hanging in there. How are you, sir?
Hi. You ready to go back to Portland? Straighten
them boys up. Okay. Here's my answer to that. I am ready when the right people are ready to join me. It hurt me in the end there. You know, I believe they said your name was Frank. With the people that I was with, I felt let down a little bit.
Well, I've got a few tools at hand, and I'm headed that way.
It's not good, guys, and these drivers, and not to say they should do what Frank's doing, because I'm not sure what tools he's talking about, but they actually should have things to make sure that they're protected, because let alone with the weather, with these riots and stuff like that, it's not safe. They literally targeted me. They actually profiled me. So I'm not trying to hijack. I don't want that to hijack the show at all.
Yeah, whatever. I got a cattle catcher on the front end. We can straighten them up.
You know,
you got
I don't.
Well,
go ahead.
I don't know. You're talking about co-parenting, Lana. Well, I'm gonna go through the whole other side of it. My youngest are 9 years old, and I can't honestly remember them growing up. What feels like yesterday, they were babies in your arm. Today, they're smart mouth little punks. Tomorrow, they'll be 18. And
wow.
That's what a man that runs an average of 300 days a year remembers of his family growing up.
Great way to
That's
put it in
so
perspective
tough.
When you say 300 days a year. That sinks,
mm-hmm.
That resonates, that sinks in. Great, 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 great.
We're gone. For an average over-the-road truck driver is gone from his 300 days per year. And you know what? When you guy like me, which was a day and a half shift every day because I don't care about FMCSA or DOT. All right. The last thing we want to hear is a crybaby mommy. Oh, the kid's got a sniffle. Okay, take him to the doctor.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Well, that's not
wow,
easy.
Wow, yeah.
Frank. You know,
careful, Frank.
You help take
well,
no,
wait a minute. No, wait a minute. No.
Someone's
no,
poking
look,
the bear,
gonna,
guys.
I am going to be
love
the
you,
unpopular. I'm going to be the unpopular woman opinion. And,
come on,
and I'll just tell you, it's going to be very unpopular with the women. And I apologize, ladies, if I offend you. But the way I see it is the last thing that I ever wanted to do to my husband was put him in that position. Because the thing is, at the end of the day, he was at work earning money to support our family. And I had one job.
Well,
my job
I did
was to raise a family. And if I couldn't do my job, then that's a problem. If I couldn't do my job without whining and crying over every little thing that went wrong, then I failed. So I was that parent, that mom that didn't tell my husband, oh, the kid fell and scraped their knee today, you know, or the kid stressed me out today.
Are you saying you were that mother that the kids actually got scared when you said you're going to tell their father?
Absolutely.
Oh,
there it is.
If I told dad, if I went that far, if they pushed me far enough that I had to tell dad it was something serious.
Yeah.
Put it this way.
Yeah.
My 25-year-old stepson, all right, still to today, if my wife goes to call me because he's being smart mouth and he don't even live in my house, Ma, don't make that phone call. Don't make that phone call. The house will explode when he gets home. Don't make that phone call.
Do we remember when those words actually carried? When there was a time when those words actually carried weight? Don't make me tell your father.
Right.
The thing
they
of
don't
it
carry
is,
weight now. I promise you.
It doesn't seem like it.
I'm one of them ones, I don't care. I'm straight up, I'll tell you the way it is. You don't like it? Fine. You ask me to leave the show, I leave. You want to hang up on me if we're on a phone call? Bye. But you know what? There's a paddle hanging on the wall of my house. It does know how to be used. I'm not the one that's afraid of going to jail because Child Protective come. If you need a spanking, you're going to get it.
Let me ask
you
this.
How
is that co-parenting? You know, if you're not going to allow your wife to say to you, look, we're having a problem with Susie. I'm going to use your name. Okay. We're having a problem with Susie. You know, she's not listening. She's being rebellious. You know, she's doing drugs. She's drinking. And I just can't take it anymore. I need you to give me some guidance here on what to do. Are you going to tell her to shut the hell up and deal with it?
Well, before it got to the point where they were drinking and doing drugs, my ass would have already saw it, and I would have already that in the butt, because I ain't afraid to send a child to a reform school.
Okay, but
the problem is the government has gotten too far in the house, and everybody's afraid of their children. The other day, I'll put it this way.
I have to agree with that. Because here's the deal. My mother, I was that punk kid. that can't, you know, come home. My mom, if I couldn't get my way, you know, I'd throw a fit. You know, I was that punk kid that said, go ahead, hit me. I'll call Child Protective Services. You know what my mother did when I said that to her one time? You know what she, you know what my mother did? She whacked me across the head with the phone and said, please give me a vacation. Okay? That's what my mom did to me. Right. Nowadays, if a kid does that, they actually come in and take the children. I mean, your neighbors can call CPS on you now, and they come in, and now you have a case on you.
Hey, I'll tell you.
I agree.
I'll give you my background, and I normally don't open up to people, but I hope we got a few hundred listeners. For the last 7 years, I've been in and out of the court for the last 7 years, minimum one time a month, fighting my ex-wife and my twins. All right? They have told me that I couldn't spank my child to straighten it up. I can't talk mean to my child to straighten it up. You know what I told the judge? Come and take them because you're not going to allow me to raise them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Did they take your children?
Yeah. No, they didn't take my children.
Oh.
They didn't.
I was like, what?
I don't... 10 judges work for me. I don't work for them. They need to remember that. I'm the one that pays their wage.
See, a lot of people, they just don't have a, you know, I just feel like we've gotten away from having a backbone in some areas.
Well, that, and, you know, if it's minuscule crap that the kids are backtalking, I don't want to hear it. The reason why they backtalk, we'll say my wife more than I did, more than me, because my wife ain't the one that'll go make them chew on a bar of soap. I will. So if you're too weak to control the child, what do you want me to do about it? I don't want to hear it. You're supposed to control a child. A child is not supposed to control you.
Right, but you have to understand, and everybody can agree with me, you have a passive parent that... You know, children just run over, and then you have the aggressive corporal punishment Hitler parent, Frank, that the children will not in any way whatsoever be disrespectful. So for that parent, your wife is not, and, you know, she realizes that, you know, we've had children, now we're in the trucking industry, you're going to be gone, I'm going to have to raise myself, and but how do I install the fear that they have of you to them? Or how do I teach my children how to respect me enough to want to be respectful, want to you, and not cause havoc and make your children feel like they're part of a team? Because a family is a team effort. It's, you know, a good parent have good children. You want a good parent,
well,
because you have a good child.
We'll go to a little bit of the Bible. God, I hate to have to throw this, but man's supposed to be the head of the house, right?
Right.
Can we all agree upon that?
You're the head of the house on the road.
I think the key word there is supposed to be.
Okay, well, the problem is we've got a lot of feminine men in this world these days, and we'll leave that to the bystander. All
right?
But the woman is one step below that, and that's the neck. Okay? And without the neck, the head can't do a thing. Because your spinal cord runs through there, your jugular vein runs up through the neck, which controls the head. You could turn the head any which way you want it to turn. A woman could do that in a matter of a second. But you're controlling the blood that goes to the brain, so why can't you control the kid? You go over, little Johnny's acting like a fart knocker. You sit there, he loves his Xbox. You make that thing disappear. Little Johnny ain't quite so happy anymore, is he? All right. Now, Johnny, when you decide you want to act like a normal young man and be part of this body, you can have your toys back. Mama don't have to beat on him. Mama don't have to throw him in the corner. Don't have to fill his mouth full of soap. She don't have to be aggressive one bit. She just walks in the room, unplugs the toy, takes it away. Problem solved. Johnny ain't going to be mouthy. He's going to do what's asked of him because he wants that simple thing back.
You know, we have somebody comment on you, Frank, you know, that says, that's exactly what I say to my kids. If you want me to be a cool mom, oh, they're commenting on me. I'm sorry, not you. All right. They're commenting on me about the hoe, you know, to be a good parent, you have to be a good child. And, you know, it makes parenting easy if you have a good child. So, therefore, I don't have to be stressed out crying and whining to my husband, who is out on the road driving, who also has had a very long, strenuous day dealing with the idiots out there who have no respect for truck drivers in any fashion whatsoever, you know, fighting his own wars, own battles, just to stay alive. So I agree with Susie. The last thing that our husbands or wives want to see is, you know, go ahead.
I think everybody makes valid points in every aspect. I really think that it's consistency on both sides, and it's the right knows what the left's doing, and everybody knows what they're doing if it's a dual couple and stuff like that. Because like Frank says, you know, you have the power. Both parents actually have the power to take away things in today's age because God forbid you hit your kid. But, you know, like with phones and Xboxes and all these things, you know, and it's just consistency on both parts. Like Susie knows what her husband goes through, and I think it's being proactive in your marriage on top of raising your children. If you guys know what's going on and we know Johnny's acting up and you guys are talking behind it and each other knows, then it's taken care of. You know, Susie knows that she doesn't have to bother her husband unless it comes to that point. And I think it's that consistency and being proactive in parenting, like Frank was. We all were very proactive in our parenting growing up because we didn't have the things that these kids have today. You know, our parents didn't have the tools to take the things to take away. They had a paddle, or you went out and picked your switch, or you got your ass handed to you. You know, or you caught doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing. You got yanked by your ear to the back room and said, "Listen, you do that again, and you're going to see what actually happens."
I still have the first pocket knife that my grandfather handed me and told me to go out and cut my own switch.
Oh.
I carry it every day of the week. Yeah, I got beat.
So what is your suggestion? So what would your advice be, Frank, you know, in a nice way? Would you agree with Wayne that before you even head out on the road, that you and your wife get on the same level of parenting that needs to happen while you're gone, and she doesn't need to bother you with small stuff that doesn't really matter? The only time she needs to bother you is if it is a serious, serious situation.
I'm going to tell you, we're 2 days into that at-home schooling cyber school. My wife has stress. It's horrible. It's ridiculous. It's beyond stupid. All right.
Oh, wow.
My wife's running a trucking company sitting at the house. We got 13 trucks running right this second. Okay. Out on the road at this particular moment. We had truck breakdowns today. We had cyber school. We got two mouthy kids in cyber school. All right. And my wife called me earlier, and I said, "Honey, I understand." I said, "But you got to understand, I'm out here working right this second. And I'm under stress. What can I do to make your day better?" She goes, "Come home." I said, "I can't come home. I just left home." All right. "Well, I just can't deal with it." I said, "Are the kids being mouthy?" "Yeah." I said, "Go take their video games." Plain and simple. They ain't going to be mouthy no more. I said, "And if they want to keep being mouthy, put them to bed with no dinner. A hungry belly will get a closed mouth." All right. She was like, okay. But no, when I left the house early this morning, I said, just don't take no bull crap from the kids. If you need to transfer the business line over to Maine, transfer the business line over to Maine. So she did transfer the business line over to me this morning for a few minutes. Took care of some things, and away we went. The best thing I can tell, all right,
that's right,
a husband and wife in trucking, especially if you own a trucking company. If you're a company driver, you don't have as many problems and responsibilities as a trucking company owner. Just the women or the men at home deal with the small shit. If it gets to the big crap, make a phone call. But because Johnny skinned his knee, you a woman, because I grew up in the age where women weren't in trucking. God bless you. All right. I'm not saying it's a man's industry. I'm just so used to the way I am. All right.
Go ahead and say something about me. I'll fuck you up.
Oh, damn it, girl.
How do you like that, Frank?
Well, let's give Frank some credit, though. Let's give Frank some credit there. The one thing that resonated with me, because I have trouble with the two, okay? I'm not the best husband. I'm not the best father, blah, blah, blah. But what he said there is she transferred the business line to him. He took something off her plate, and he was there for her at the same time. It was teamwork right there. He took something that she usually takes care of off her plate and said, let me do what I can. You know I'm stressed out here, let alone the idiots, DOT, and then the riot, all that crap, and then the weather. Okay? I'm under stress. But he took that little bit to take those phone calls. I bet made a world of difference, Frank.
Meantime, I'm still waiting for the test results to see if I've got cancer.
Oh, geez,
I've been
Louise.
Internally,
come on,
I've been internally bleeding for about a week now.
Well, look, everybody just listening, because, you know, everybody keep Frank in their prayers in. Jeez, Frank, come on, bro. Just drop it all on us today,
huh? It ain't no big deal. I'm right with it.
But see,
if I die tomorrow, I'm at peace, Bubba.
But you'll beat it that way. See, that's the thing, Frank. You got kids to raise. You got misery to go through, pal, with your wife. You're not going nowhere.
Hey, you guys, we've got some callers that want to win. So we're going to pull in 678. 678, welcome to Lana's talk.
Hi, it's Carla.
Hey, Carla.
Hi, Carla.
You know, you've been making a lot of comments. So everybody give Carla the platform. And let her give her advice and her story on how to co-parent in trucking. You have the floor, Carla.
You told me to call in, so I just really didn't know what you wanted to know. But I have 7 kids, and my husband is a trucker. He's new to the trucking business. It's always been like his dream. And he's always wanted to be an on-the-road driver. He's done dump truck, like, for so many years, and then he got to a semi. And one thing that we agreed on from the very beginning was that his job wasn't about to take over his whole life and not see his kids be raised. So it was, like, an agreement we made
Wrong
from the
industry.
Very beginning. No, it's been working perfectly
Let her
fine.
Finish
he's home time. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Uh-oh.
He leaves Monday. He's gone Monday through Friday. We make enough money to live and feed our children. And, you know, he's doing what he loves because it's always been his dream. And for now, it's been working. I'm sure once our kids get older, I've already been on the road with him. We went to D.C. for the protest. And that was the first time me going on the road ever in a truck ever. And then I went to like 2 different jobs with him, and me just opening up, doing new things, because that's definitely not my thing. I am not that girl to sit in a truck. That's not me at all. But, you know, when you're in a marriage, you have to compromise and do things together to please each other. There's a lot of things that I'm sure he does that he doesn't like, but he does it to please me, and so I'll do the same. And I feel like for us, we're young, you know, we're not even 40 yet, and we have 7 children. We have a 21-year-old. We're about to be grandparents, and we're not even 40. And it's just like our life is crazy.
Now, you say it one more time, Carla. I'm sorry, I gotta interrupt. 40's not old, okay? Stop that. We're not even 40.
No, hold on, I'm not even 40 yet. I'm about to be a grandmother.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Yeah, 40 ain't that damn old.
So
come on now.
No. What I'm saying is, I feel like I should be
so
like,
keep going.
What I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I get it.
Yeah,
get it.
So
get it.
Much.
Get it.
Well, the thing for you is different for some wives because your husband is home every week. And so it's different.
But way,
because that's
like
an agreement we made from the beginning.
Right.
That's why I call it the driver's side. Because every side is different.
We have Jason Tinman Ellis on here. Hey, Jason, you want to chime in on this?
Hey, everybody, did we not hear the enthusiasm? Did we not hear that in her voice, though, when she was breaking it down about her family and her husband achieving his dream and this and taking care of seven kids? She was getting it. Man, that was awesome.
Well,
that was awesome. Thank you, Carla.
They do make us such things as a
truck,
TV.
You know? Oh, we didn't have cable for many years, so that was the problem.
Carla, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I would be a rich woman because I have five children. And so I've
heard
myself.
Everyone tells me, you won, because everyone thinks like, oh, you know what? Hell no, not a competition. I swear to you not, I try to get my tubes tied after the second child. Every single child, I try to get my tubes tied. God said, nah, you going to have these children.
Yeah, no, I'm on.
I try.
Well, there you go.
I promise you.
You know,
I was just saying, it's hard when you're a mom and your husband is gone, because it is in the beginning when he first started. He will come home, and I'm like, you motherfucker, you haven't even been here. You are in no position to even say anything. You know what I mean? Like, I just be so angry because he's not here, and then you want to come home and be like, oh, I'm home now. You know, like, hell no, you're in my home now. You know what I'm saying? Like, respect me. So,
I walk in the door, the world revolves around me, okay?
He's got his own shovel. I am not digging. I am not part of that. My wife runs my life straight up. I couldn't survive without my wife, and I'm proud to say that.
Oh, well,
hey,
you know
dude.
What?
I'm sure she feels the same about you.
I don't even know how to turn the coffee pot in my own house, okay?
There it is, Frank. There it is, right. My coffee's ready every morning, and I'm happy about that.
Jason. Okay. Hey, guys. Jason?
Yeah.
Jace, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You want to chime in on here on what it's like to co-parent and the trucking. I do have a question to ask for you answer. Does anybody know what the divorce rate is among truckers?
Oh, I'm sure.
So what?
I didn't hear the question.
Divorce rate. Does anybody know what the divorce rate is in the trucking industry? You know,
97%.
Yeah, I'd go 95 at least. I'm there with Frank.
No. Hold
on,
guys. Come
on. You're giving me so much hope.
You got that. No, Carla, you got that.
According to a 2010 survey, it was 19.14%.
Oh, that's not bad.
Oh. There you go. That's not bad.
Well,
at
I
all.
Guess because it takes the it takes the right type of people.
I had two divorces today.
Well, Frank,
look.
If you told me to go,
when we got married.
Lana, can you all hear me?
I'd divorce your ass anyway.
Hey, yesterday was my wife and I's third wedding anniversary.
Aww.
Yesterday, my wife and I made 3 years.
Congratulations.
I was sure she was going to kill me by the third day.
Oh, I'm sure. So, Jason, I cannot hear you. Speak up. Tell me what your experience is in the trucking industry co-parenting.
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations on getting your CDL.
Well, thank you.
And I've been driving, well, tomorrow will be exactly 12 years that I have been driving a truck.
Congratulations.
And thank you.
My
I appreciate it. And I've seen a lot out here, and I'm going to comment on some things that's been said, talking about the wife and the ex-wife and all that. That's the way I am right now. I'm going through a situation. I've got an 11-year-old at home, and I just went probably 2 or maybe 3 weeks ago, and I had to bust his hind end for biting because he bit my oldest son and literally brought blood.
Oh, ow.
And,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it needed stitches. He was that bad. But to make a long story short, I went over and I wore him out with the belt. And I don't know which one it was that said it about, you know, talking about the judge. And I'm the kind of person that if I'm out anywhere, regardless if it's at home or if it's in public store, wherever, I'll grab mine up and I'll bust her hind end right there. And
I'm a firm believer,
know,
it comes out your mouth, it goes back in it.
Yep.
Ooh.
And, you know, two things that I don't want to make anybody mad, but two things that was mentioned that I kind of don't believe in is sending your kids to reform school.
I'm good. You all right? You need some help
or
something?
Sending them to bed hungry.
Are you sure?
The reason for that is
if you send them to reform school,
they're going to think, wow.
You need food or something. I got food. You good
there? I do something. I act I get sent out.
Just want to make sure you're
okay.
Have a good day. Try
and
you.
Sending them to bed hungry, you know, to me, that gives a child all the right to go to school the next morning or whatever and say, my parents are starving me. They're not feeding me. And then they're going to contact Child Protective Services. They're going to come in and they're going to investigate what's going on, you know. And my ex-wife, she calls me all the time. And I'm out here. I'm running up down the road. You know, I'm 80,000 pounds. And I can't be trying to listen and deal with that and deal with these idiots out here on the road, too, at the same time. So she calls my wife now, and they kind of talk, and, you know, they decide on what the discipline is.
So your current wife and your ex-wife co-parent together while you're out on the road working?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
sometimes that happens when you got a divorced house.
My wife.
Yes, I get it. I just wanted to clear that up.
And,
well, that's great.
And one thing that I'm kind of proud of, I've got 2 boys and 1 daughter. And my daughter is 13, my youngest son's 11, and my oldest is 16. And we had a meeting on July 4th. You know, we had a big family powwow. And it literally came out of my oldest son's mouth that he said, I know when Dad means business. And we looked at him and said, why you say that? He said, the reason I know that Dad means business his dad don't ever yell. He don't ever raise his voice. He said, but when dad raises his voice, he said, we know he means business.
And see, my house
okay,
is the
so
exact
you,
opposite. When dad gets
installed,
quiet, that's when dad means business.
But you guys are able to install that respect so that your children know that. And we all know that when the disciplinary parent is absent, what happens? What happens? The children now become uncontrollable because the pushover parent is present. That parent that has been allowed to be a pushover by the disciplinary parent because the disciplinary parent has to be in control of disciplining the children, correct?
Right.
Okay. So maybe the disciplinary parent should encourage the pushover parent, you know, to be able to become a disciplinary parent so that when you become absent because you are a truck driver, they're still going to be able to have the courage and the will and want to do that. I'm not going to lie. I don't thank my children. I have never laid hands on my children because to me, I look at that as a bigger person beating up on a littler person. So they bleed, they feel, they breathe, they have the same emotions as I do. And if somebody's standing in front of me and hitting me, what do I want to do? I want to hit back. I want to fight back. If somebody's standing in front of me yelling at me and screaming at me, what do I want to do? I want
to
leave.
I beg to differ
on
that, Lana. I beg to differ because I'm that hardcore parent. In my household, we're both the hardcore disciplinary parent, both of us. So when I talk to my children and I beat their ass and I yell at them, I've even asked them, do y'all want to fight me? I've asked them a million times, do y'all get so mad that y'all want to fight me? And they're like, Mom, we would never hit you. And I beat the shit out of one of my sons. I've had one of my sons has been out of control to the fact that we've been scaring him with military school for the last 10 years, and I think that's why he bucked up and got right, because he was at the age that we told him we were going to send him to military school, which I would never do because that's my baby. I would never do that. But I have scared the living crap. When he was 15, I filled out the application and even made him believe that we sent it out and everything. Like, when he turned 50, it was on and popping. He was like, I'm going to get right because they're going to send me off, because I told him, you're not going to disrupt our family for your whole life. You're not going to do that. So he's actually done a lot well. But I have to say, they've never once ever yelled back, tried to hit me. And my sons and my daughter, they're bigger than me. So to me, it doesn't
okay,
look right
me ask you
when
this.
A young child is disrespecting an adult, mother, neighbor, stranger. A young child should never disrespect anybody. And so would I rather whoop my child so he never disrespects nobody again, or learn to not disrespect, or would I just allow the disrespect because I feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm hurting his emotions. Nah, you just hurt my emotions by disrespecting folks in front of me. Like, no, that's not cool. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's my point of view.
Okay.
And what is your point of view on that, Susie?
I'm a firm believer in spare the rod, spoil the child. I don't believe you need to spank a child for every little thing they do wrong, but I believe
there is a
point in time. It's just like my mother always raised me with this. I'll never put my things away to keep a child from touching them. I will teach that child that you don't touch those things. So if
you
my child walks over.
I've been telling people forever. You just said some real stuff right now. You do not put
if a child,
children, you teach them. Yes.
If a child
you're
walks
right.
over and tries to pick up something that they're not supposed to have, you tell them no. If they do it again,
100.
You tell them
yep.
one more time, you tell them no, and you do it in a very firm voice. They don't get a next time. The next time you smack that hand. You pop that hand and you show them that that's going to hurt, then they learn, uh-oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. But I'm also from
and
the
that's
South,
really
and I think
good.
We look at things differently.
Well, that's some really good parenting advice for the pushover parents. That right there, because that that's going to hurt their feelings more than harm them physically to do what you said and what Carla just agreed with you on. Frank and Wayne?
Yeah,
when you
I say beat their ass, don't think that I'm like child abusing my kids. Don't think that. When I say beat their ass, I mean I'm spanking my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like child abuse. I've never had, you know, defects called on me or any, you know, I don't, I'm not doing that. I, when I say beat that ass, I mean spank. I never say, don't, I don't want anyone to get anything
okay.
misunderstood, you know.
Let
people be misunderstanding your words.
Nobody's
going to
go with everything.
No, God put a verdict. God put a vertical crack in that butt, and I'll put a horizontal in it.
Reason, right?
I said the size of the plate. I always say the size. Especially when they're little.
Oh,
I
that hurts.
Little, you whoop them, and then when they get older, you no longer have to whoop them because they got whooped enough as a child. So why would you have to be whooping a teenager? You know what I mean? So then size
If you train them when they're young, they'll know the way to go when they become older. You don't have people following Antifa and Black Lives Matter and rioting and looting and becoming hoodlums in the street.
You're right.
No, of course
you,
not.
You guys are right. No. But you got
to
–
I'm that mom who will pull up to the protest and beat their child in the middle of the protest when they thought they were going to be acting cool. Absolutely not. Like, don't let me catch my child on television acting a damn fool.
I got to cuss a couple of their children out myself. It felt great.
Right.
Yeah, I bet.
Poor Wayne.
I bet it did. You know.
Well,
it
I got luck with
it. It is.
Said.
But that's the sad thing is these kids are, you know, in my opinion, peaceful protests are one thing, but what I'm seeing is kids destroy this country and the kids putting themselves in positions, and you know, that was for the, you know, he felt it was for the right reasons, and now he's getting drugged to the mud like crazy. It's just, I feel sorry for our country right now because it's really at a bad place.
The lack of parenting is extremely showing, you know what I mean?
In the last 70 years, our nation has lost one major thing, and that's a spine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was raised by the neighborhood. God forbid somebody called and said Frank did wrong. The butt whooping was there before I even got inside the door.
Right.
All right. Punishment. I've never lived in a house that didn't have a wood stove, okay? You know what punishment was? All right, you see that big pile of logs over there? Make that into kindling wood. And now you better put it on the porch. Because when you go turn around and put 8-10 cord of firewood on the front porch, you're too sore to do anything wrong.
No, nowadays the kids do crazy and the parents go out and buy them iPhones and iPads and take them on vacation. I'm dead.
Yep,
I see
exactly.
And I'm just like, wow.
Exactly.
Okay.
Obviously, being
a hardcore bitch, you know?
Here's my question. Carla, you're not even 40. How old are you, Carla?
I'm 39.
39. So, is this the people that are what generation is this? Who raised these kids? You know what I'm saying? So where are the parents of these kids?
I've been watching my kids go to school with children that treat their parents like crap, and I've always looked at my child like I wish you would, and they look like at me like, oh my gosh, I wish I would too, mom. Like my kids look at me when they see other
kids
acting crazy, you know, like mom, oh my gosh, it's that serious.
So have
you
I
know? Like,
man, that just like me with my 11-year-old. He will stand up to my ex-wife
He will backtalk her. He will cuss her. He will flip her off, you know, and everything else. But my wife that I'm currently with, she can ask him one time to do something, or she can tell him one time to do something, and he will go do it without turning a word.
Because who knows who to respect and who to disrespect.
All right, I got one quick question on that note. Yeah.
Come on, Frank.
Is it because he knows that your wife has you backing him up, backing her up?
To be honest, I really don't know, Frank, because, I mean,
You want to know how to nip that in the butt real quick?
How's that?
You roll into town next time and he's with his mama, and she's called you from the road, well, you're on the road, and said, hey, he's doing this, that, and the other. You don't even knock on the door of her house. You walk in that house and snatch him up off his feet, all right, and look him right square in the eyes and say, that's your mother, all right? We brought you in this world. We'll take you out of the son of a bitch. Give him a bitch slap in the mouth, and he'll stop that crap.
It's called the trucker. It's called the trucker dad ambush. Trucker dad ambush. Don't let him know. Don't make sure mom. Let him act up. Let him keep acting all the way to the moment you walk in that door. Let him act out all the way to the moment you walk in that door. And the moment you walk in that door and he sees you, the fear of God will run through that young boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you only have one mother. You only have one father. Stepmamas are wonderful. I love them. All right. My wife makes a wonderful stepmom. There's only one woman that you ever came from. And if you ain't going to respect it, you ain't worth the hell of shit. You got to smack the crap out of it.
We got another caller
right
that'd like to give us his point of view, guys. Are you ready?
No, go ahead. Get it. Get it.
All right.
Okay. Call the company driver. Called for the company drivers. There are companies out there that have a rider program.
Yep.
And you can take your kids with you. So you're allowing the children to do all that at home instead of having them with you and homeschooling on the truck. Owner-operators, it's Progressive Insurance. Call them up, put them on it, get them on the road with you. Don't leave it up to the other parent. Take responsibility.
Nice. I like that.
Because
I hate that shit. I tell you right now, the way I treated my mother, I would have hated that. I would have thought that was hell. I would have. As soon as I would have got home, I would have never acted up again.
Right.
I tell you that right now. I think that's a great idea.
God,
if you're a truck driver, you all know that y'all signed that contract saying what y'all would have in and out of them trucks. If you can have a dog, why can't you have your children with you? My thing is,
you can.
Y'all are all
you can.
About how to take care of your children with the wives because you can't make it back, but take the kids with you. Give her a break. We're all responsible
for
what we
did.
I had five children, all of them adopted. I speak Russian and had a Russian child. If I can do that and homeschool my kids in a semi with my mother, then I know everybody else can.
Hey,
I want to say thank you for adopting children. Thank you for adopting children. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's not easy within itself. It takes a good person to do that. I think that's great.
Uh-huh.
Good job.
You
adopting's a good thing to give people a chance in this world.
On the phone right now, guys. His name is Knuckles, and he has been in the trucking industry pretty much his whole life. And yes, he did adopt. Five, not married, no wife, at the time of adopting the five children. And he did. He put them in the semi, and he did raise them. He raised five children, you know. Him and his mom, he did have his mom that would help him, and they would rotate the kids in and out, you know. So he did have that support.
That's cool.
He didn't have any wife or spouse helping him do that. So
And may I ask, how long have you been doing it? Well, how old's your youngest and how old's your oldest?
They're all grown, and I have 13 grandchildren.
So you've been homeschooling that long?
I've homeschooled them until they were old enough to be able to take care of themselves and be responsible with my mom when she would be off the road, and we'd switch out driving the truck. So my mom would take responsibility. I would take responsibility.
So you were ahead of the, you were ahead of what's happening now, basically, because everybody's, it's homeschooling now. It's the way things are going. I know some places are letting kids back to school, but a lot of Nevada has completely went to homeschooling, completely are at home cyber schooling. But I mean that for you to do that in a time that didn't have the tools, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, when we go down billboards, do you not read them? Have your kids read them to you. Have them tell you the state they're in. Have them read the map. They learn geography. I mean, the things you guys want to do are the things y'all are doing. Instill it in what you can teach them. Let them understand what the real world is about. Have a part in their life.
He
just
said it.
That's really good advice. You know.
So my question. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Lana. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nope. Go ahead, Wayne. What's your question?
Well, because I was going to go back to Frank and ask Frank. I mean, I think that you guys running a trucking company, you could actually start integrating that into the schooling. I think that'd be awesome. Teach your kids how to run the trucking company, help the wife, help the family, and actually you're there learning. I mean, you got everything you need right there when you run a trucking company.
My 9-year-old son already sits out there with me turning wrenches every time I'm home. My 9-year-old daughter, because I've got twins, sits there and faxes paperwork and rate confirmation, looks them over with the wife. But yeah, as far as adopting, I didn't adopt, but I've got a 20-year-old young man that I've had at my house since he's been 13. His mama had passed away, and his daddy didn't care about him at all. And I'm gonna tell you, that is the hardest one I've had to raise. I had to take him 16 years old out behind a woodshed and push his nose around for about a half an hour after he lit the school on fire. He was messed up in drugs, alcohol, the whole nine yards.
Put him in the truck with you so you could keep a better eye on him, and he would limit his mobility on having to be in trouble.
Well, he's 20 now, and he's he's in the bunk right now. All right.
There it is.
He's actually my right-hand man. He's finally straightened around. All I got to do is say, hey, Trent, get after that. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be afraid to put this kid in the truck and send him to Alaska tomorrow. Because you could sit there and quiz him. There ain't nothing he don't know about trucking that he should know at that age plus extra.
If it comes about trucking, we all need to turn our key in and no longer drive a truck.
I didn't say he didn't know it all. But he could safely chain down a load. He could safely tarp it. He drives the thing all over. I'll slide out of the seat and say, hey, boy, I'm gonna take it, relax in the passenger seat. Take this thing down the road. It jump in and go down the road. Don't worry about it.
Okay, real quick, we're running out of time
here on the show.
And he's got a CDL. Frank, I don't mean to cut you off, but real quick, what advice would you give to parents in the trucking industry right now to help them co-parent? Real quick.
All right. First thing, mom solved the simple issue if you're at home. Dad solved the simple issue if you're at home. The person that's out on the road, if you could take a little bit away from them, especially when you're operating a trucking company, do it when they're stressed out. All right. And remember, before you go to bed, because you may not wake up tomorrow, call your spouse and tell them you love them.
Absolutely, Frank. Absolutely.
Don't make me cry, damn it.
Well, you know, you're here today, and gone 5 minutes from now, I had a massive heart attack at 38 years old and was dead for 9.5 minutes. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Love y'all.
You're right.
Absolutely.
Love you, Frank. Thank you for coming on the show, brother. Thank you. My heart's out to you. Jason, go. What would be your advice, real quick, in co-parenting, give to other fucking families out there?
Well, my advice would be to be good, listen to your parents, and always remember that it's the only mom and the only dad that you will ever have in life. And
okay.
Always be good and mind and do as your parents say.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight, Jason. Mr. Campbell, what would your advice
yes, ma'am.
Be to
give? My advice is to communicate with each other as parents and let each other know what's going on no matter what. Even if you don't feel you should tell them, tell them. Tell each other what's going on. Make sure you're proactive in your kid's life. Ask them what's going on with them. Make sure that everything, that you can do whatever you can for each other and teamwork. You guys said it. Everybody has said it here. They've been there for each other. And with the way things are going is teach them about the trucking industry. Teach them about things that are going on in the world. Teach them. Don't let a TV do it. Okay? And I know sometimes you just don't want to deal with it. But sometimes you have to when you don't want to. Otherwise, you don't know where this kid's getting their information. You don't know the outlets they're using in today's world. They have too much too soon, in my opinion. And I think us parents, that no one ever wrote a book, and there's yet to write a book, and to not feel responsible for all your kids' mistakes. We all make decisions, but it's your responsibility to put a moral compass and to put values and instill tradition and just good people. Just good kids. That's all. Just teach them to love, and that's it. Because we live in a world of hate today.
Yep.
That's it. Thank you, guys. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you.
I'll
be in Vegas for a few hours, Wayne.
Bye.
Carla.
Gotta go.
Yes. Bye.
No, I agree with the guy who just spoke. Communication. Wayne. He said you don't want the TV teaching the kids. I always say you don't want them punk-ass kids at school teaching your kids, is what I always say.
Absolutely,
so communicate,
Carla.
Family powwows when the dads are home are super important. When you're home with your family, talk to your kids about respecting their mom and treating their mom with respect and people with respect. And communication is key because you don't want no one else teaching your kids what you should be teaching them.
You got that. You hit that right there. And my co-host,
can I throw
Susie,
one more quick?
Come on in.
Men lead by example. Men grow up to be what they see. Women lead by example. Girls
yep.
grow up to what they see.
You're right.
Yep.
You're right.
And the only perfect parent there is in this world is the one that never stops trying.
That's it.
You said it best.
That's it right there. My co-host, Susie, what is your parents' advice for co-parenting in the trucking industry?
Well, I think at the end of the day, Carla probably, I think everybody's kind of hit on it. It's communication. It's holding down. Here's my thing about the not telling the other parent what I said earlier about not calling them for every little thing. The one thing you have to learn how to distinguish is when should you call dad or mom and when you shouldn't. Because far too often that parent, Lena, you've talked about it a lot tonight, the parent who's not the disciplinarian, far too often that parent tends to, I want to use the word cover for that child when the child has done something or is doing something that they shouldn't be because they worry about what the disciplinarian parent's going to do when they hear about it. I've seen it happen.
That's right.
And in a little bit of ways, it probably happened sometimes when my kids were growing up, you know, because I knew that hubby was going to take the punishment to the next level and
kind of like, well, you know, maybe it's not that bad. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's not fair to the spouse that's out on the road to have anything hidden from them. So you got to make sure that when something important is going on, that parent has the opportunity to be involved.
I agree 100%.
I have some very dear friends that the husband travels for work. He's not a truck driver, but his wife hid a lot of things from him that his kids were doing, and it turned out really, really bad. You know, and it's one of those things. I know she was only doing it because she was trying to handle it herself and protect her husband and not have him worried. But it backfired, and it backfired in a really big kind of way. So, you know, we have to also hold ourselves accountable, the ones of us that are at home. We have to hold ourselves accountable for what we're allowing to go on when our spouse is not in our home.
Yep, you're exactly right. You are exactly right. Well, I want to thank everybody for calling in to Lana's Talk tonight, and I want to thank my co-host, Susie, as always, you know, pleasant, humble, empowering, and lifting up. And I want to thank all of my viewers that took the time out of their day to tune into the show. Please keep people in your prayers during these hurricanes, these riots. My friend Frank, who's sick, my friend Gary, who's sick. You know, we just need to start doing some major praying and, you know, about this whole world and the things that's going on. If you do have children, you need to grab a hold of those kids and you need to hold on to them. This world has gone crazy. You and your spouse need to figure out
absolutely.
How to cope. You need to stop to the best your ability, what works for you. Because I truly believe that not knowing how to co-parent in the trucking industry is part of marriages breaking up as well. And
yep.
So if we give
for
advice,
sure. Could be.
You know, how we could help, you know, create a better co-parenting boundary, maybe we can decrease the divorces that happen in the trucking. You know, I guarantee you that when people get into trucking, that's the last thing that they want to do is get divorced. That's not what they want to happen.
You're right.
And they sure the hell don't want to lose a wife or lose a husband because you two can't get along and figure out how to co-parent together. So my advice is be respectful to each other. Love each other. Understand each other. Have compassion and empathy for each other's worries and sorrows that you go through every day, being at home, being the parent, being out on the road as being the driver and the breadwinner to the home. Find a time to meet on level ground and communicate. But when you are communicating, make sure that you're communicating the things that really need to be communicated. As my friend Frank says, he's out there busting his ass every day. The last thing that he wants to hear about is you crying and whining because your child has a snotty nose. So those are the things that we are trying to figure out how and what it is that we should be communicating to the person that's out on the road, that's working, and under the tremendous amount of stress that they are on the road. You know, I'm telling you, it's crazy out there. It's terrible out there. So that's it. That's what I have to say. And once again, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, calling in to Lana's Talk. Susie, thank you so much. Jason, thank you so much. Frank and Wayne and Knuckles and all of our viewers.
Well, you're welcome. I enjoy calling in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm actually driving through Missouri right now.
What? What is it?
I see y'all on the next one.
Okay,
no, I was just saying I'm actually driving through Missouri right now.
Will you be safe, brother? You hear me?
So always, Lana. That's my main
all
goal,
right.
Being safe and going back home.
Yes, sir. Going back home. And we, Susie and I, will see you all next week on Lana's Talk at 6 p.m. Central Time. I don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, but do you know what we're going to be talking about yet, Susie? Susie?
I had my phone muted. I am so sorry. You hear me, Lana?
Okay. Oh, hey, we have Knuckles on here still. You hung up, Knuckles, before you could give your advice to the trucking industry on how, what they could do to be better at co-parenting. So maybe I'll catch you on the flip next time to get your advice on that. So, but bye and thanks for tuning in, Knuckles. I really appreciate it. Susie, I'm sorry, what are we going to talk about next week?
I thought we had talked earlier the other day, that's kind of a fluid situation with everything that's kind of happening in this country right now. So I guess maybe we can let them know tomorrow if you're good
yes.
at that, Lena.
I'm good with that. We can let everybody know tomorrow what we are going to be talking about next week. If you guys have a suggestion that you want to us to talk about, that you want us to bring awareness to, reach out. Reach out to me. Reach
Absolutely.
Out to Susie. So reach out to us because we'll bring it to the table. We'll bring awareness to it. You know, if you're struggling somewhere in your life with something and you just need help getting through it and you're looking for advice, reach out. Let us help you get the answers that you need so that you can have a more empowering, uplifting, positive, less stressful life. You know, that's what Lana's Talk is all about, is empowering, lifting up, and educating. So reach out to Susie or I. You can find us on Facebook. You got a subject you want us to talk about? You need some advice about something? We're here for you because we do. We love each and every one of you. We wouldn't be here without you. We appreciate the support that you give us. So please, don't ever forget that. Lana and Susie are here for you. So, good night, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to Lana's Talk. Susie, you got anything you want to say?
Just everybody have a safe week. Good night.
There you guys go.
All right, good night, ladies.
Good night, everybody.